Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, and that's found on page 942. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, "He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
She was 12 years old, the year that she started to second guess the Santa Claus thing. When Oprah Winfrey tells the story about the Christmas that gave her hope, she says it was also the Christmas that she wondered about Santa. When she was growing up, she spent part of her childhood with her mum, who was a single parent, and so they were poor, they were very poor. And this one year in particular, her mum said to her they weren't going to have Christmas because they couldn't afford it. And she says she thought to herself straight away, I'm not going to be able to go outside on Christmas morning. I'm not going to be able to go outside and play with the other kids because I'm not going to have a new toy to play with. And that's what they did in their neighbourhood Christmas morning. All the kids went outside and they played with their new toys. She thought, I'm not going to be able to do that. And then I'm going to have to go back to school after the holidays and people are going to ask me what I got for Christmas. And I'm going to have to say, nothing. And then on Christmas Day, three nuns showed up at her house and they bought her a doll and they bought food. And when she tells the story, Oprah says she was so happy, and she remembers thinking to herself at 12 years of age, somebody remembered me. You know, it's not entirely on purpose that we're filling these red bags at the same time as we're doing our Spirit of Generosity teaching series, but I don't think it's entirely a coincidence either. The generosity of strangers helps people in their everyday lives all the time, but especially at Christmas. So this year, together as a congregation, we're going to be generous and we're going to give these gifts to people we are probably never going to meet. We're going to give it to them and we're going to make a family on Christmas Day think to themselves, somebody remembered me. Why? Because we serve a generous God. We do. It's written all through scriptures, right from the very beginning. If you go back all the way to Genesis chapter 1, in verse 28, God has just finished creating human beings. He's just made men and women. And it says this: God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God has just finished creating the whole earth in its vastness and its beauty and its complexity. And he just gives it to humanity. He says, here, take it. Be blessed by it. And then there's sin. And there's a fall. And death and pain and anguish come into the world. And so God gives again a saviour, a messiah. The perfect gift in Jesus. The only thing that was going to save us. And God just gives it to humanity. It's grace beyond measure. And it's generosity beyond what we deserve. Yes, church, our God is generous. And in our scripture reading this morning, we see that God honours generosity in us. Paul writes to the church in Corinth that God loves a cheerful giver, joyful giving, not begrudging giving because we have to, but giving because we want to. In verse 11, Paul says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion." This is about more than just money, although Paul is talking about money. In fact, he takes about two chapters in the middle of 2 Corinthians to talk about money. But he says, you'll be made rich in every way. He's talking about love and compassion and forgiveness and the millions of other ways that God gives to us and then asks us to give to others. As you arrived in church this morning, you should have received a little ping pong ball. Just pull it out for a minute. We're going to hold up your ping pong ball and have a look at it. This is for all the kinesthetic learners in the room, all of you people that need to touch things and hold things. This is for you guys. If your day was a jar, like the one we saw on the video before, what would your jar look like? How many balls would there be for family? How many balls would there be for you, just for you? How many balls would there be for prayer? In fact, if you took a particular colour and coloured all of the balls in your jar for time that you gave to someone or something else without expecting anything in return, what would that make your jar look like? As a gift that can be given, time is an incredibly powerful gift. To give the gift of time requires a personal interaction. In fact, sometimes it's easier to give money or stuff. Which is not to say that tangible gifts are impersonal, they're not. But to give the gift of your time, you have to approach something right up close. You've got to really engage with it. You can buy a kid a new bike and send them on their way, and that would be a generous gift, it would. But to teach a kid to ride a bike, to share that knowledge, to help them up when they fall off and graze their knee, to listen to them laugh as they figure it out and get all excited about the feeling of riding a bike, that takes time and you have to be present. To show compassion for somebody who's sick or grieving, to go and spend time with them, not to fix their problem, but just to be there and to provide comfort, that takes time. And that kind of emotional connection, it's invaluable for us as human beings. It's the kind of thoughtfulness and compassion that makes you think, somebody remembered me. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians that we just read, Paul says, generous giving honours God because, and this is what he says, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. The obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. In other words, people will notice how generous you are. They will match it up against the message of the gospel. And God will be praised because of it. You know, Christian leaders all over the world talk about giving money to the church all the time. And whether you've been a Christian your whole life or you've come recently to faith, I'm willing to bet that you already have your own ideas about giving, especially giving money. For me, when it comes to giving, it all comes down to James chapter 1. Verse 17, and this is what it says. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. In the Old Testament, they called God Jehovah Jireh, means God who provides. So if every good thing I have comes from the Lord, then I offer some of it back as an act of worship and as a spiritual discipline. Money, love, time, forgiveness, all of it comes from God in such abundance, really, in such abundance, that I can just carve some of it off and give it away. I remember when my sister Beck and her husband Daniel had just given birth to their first son, Asher, and we made them a shepherd's pie to take over for dinner, because bringing food to people who have new babies is helpful, FYI. And so we made them the shepherd's pie, and we took it over to them, and we were just going to give it to them and leave. We took it around dinner time, and they made us sit down and eat it with them. And I'm saying to my sister, no, this is not the point. I just wanted to give it to you. You eat it, and then what you don't eat, just put in the freezer and eat later. And she's like, no, you have to stay and have dinner with us. I suspect probably because she was waiting to see if I was willing to eat my own cooking. Because I'm not so good with the cooking. But they made us stay and eat it with them. They took the gift that had been freely given to them, and they just offered some of it back. When we acknowledge that every good thing we have comes from God, generosity just kind of seems like common sense. And time in particular is a really interesting thing to be generous with, because where we spend most of our time tells us what we value. It is like money in that sense. So when we value our community of faith here at Glebe Road Uniting Church, we give of our time to sustain it. Ministry groups and fellowship and prayer, all of those things are an offering of our time in a reflection of the things that we value. Time is such a powerful thing, and yet it's kind of weird, because technically we all have the same amount of it. We all get 24 hours in our day. But we don't all live the same amount of time. And none of us knows how much longer we're going to live for. And we don't all have the same responsibilities weighing on our time. So the term time poor is something that you hear a lot about these days. It's this notion that despite the technology that makes it quicker and easier than ever to cook and clean and travel and communicate, we feel like we've got less time in our day now than we ever have before. It's this really strange anomaly of 21st century life. And there's some really interesting research about it. A few years ago, Stanford University did 4 studies. And they took a group of people and they gave half of the group an activity to do for a period of time that would help somebody else. Proofreading college applications, writing letters to sick kids in hospital. And then they gave the other half of the group just a time-wasting filler kind of activity. Some of them had to count the number of E's in pages of Latin text. Sounds like fun. And they did this 4 times, and what they found every time with the different activities was that when they asked the group afterwards how they felt about their own time, the people who gave their time away using it to help somebody else felt like they had more time. It turns out when we give time away, it makes us feel like we have more of it. And sometimes there's this temptation in life too to think that having more money makes life easier, and therefore having more money would make you feel like you had more time. But there's research about that too that shows that a wealthier a person is, the more time poor they feel. As one journalist described it, being busy can make you rich, but being rich makes you feel busier still. And some of that's to do with the number of hours that you have to work to earn a lot of money. But some of it is also to do with what happens in this day and age when a person has a lot of money and therefore feels like they should be doing everything. There's an attitude that says, if you can afford to, then you should. So people feel like they have to go on holidays and they have to go to concerts and they have to travel everywhere and do all the things, and never just relax and embrace having nothing to do. It's true what they say, money doesn't buy happiness, but it also doesn't buy time. So the question is, if we feel time poor, how can we possibly be generous with our time? In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19, God gives a law to the Israelites about generosity. And this is what it says. It says, when you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. Does that seem strange to anybody else? Seemed like a strange kind of law for God to give to the Israelites. The Israelites were wandering in the desert for 40 years. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us God gave them manna to eat. And they're still wandering in the desert when God gives them this law. They don't have fields. They don't have olive trees. They don't have vineyards. It takes 5 years to grow an olive tree to the point where it will give you olives. They're wandering in the wilderness with none of this stuff. And God gives them a law about how they're supposed to be generous with it. When Rob Bell, who's an American pastor, talks about this verse, he calls it a promise and a warning. God's saying to the Israelites, okay, you don't have fields or olive trees or vineyards, but you will. When you get to the promised land, you will. And when you do, and here's the warning, don't forget where you came from. God says to the Israelites, remember you were slaves in Egypt. And that's why I command you to do this. He says to them, give to the alien and the fatherless and the widow, the people who will have contributed nothing to building your vineyards and your fields and your olive trees. It takes a lot of time to plant and water and harvest food. God says, don't worry about the fact that they won't have contributed to that. They have nothing. So give to them because you used to have nothing. Church, so often generosity is born out of our own experience. God wanted the Israelites to be a people who were generous towards those who had nothing because they used to have nothing. So I want to suggest an idea to you this morning, because being generous with our time in a time-poor environment is a challenge. It absolutely is. So let's try this. If generosity is born out of our own experience, I want you to hold up your ping pong ball again. Where's mine? Here it is. Have a look at it. I want you to think about a time in your life when you didn't have something, but you have it now. A time in your life when you didn't have something, but you have now. Maybe you can remember what it was like to be the new person at work or at school or in a ministry group somewhere, and you didn't really know everybody. There's that awkward space when you're new, you don't really have friends to just kind of hang out with. Maybe you remember what that's like. Maybe you remember a time when you were grieving or you were sad, and for a season you just couldn't find the joy. I want you to think about a time like that. And then I want you to identify someone who's back where you were. Someone that you look at them and you think, oh, I remember that. I remember what that felt like. And then this week, I want you to commit to investing some of your time into that person or that situation or that ministry. And if nothing springs to mind, Bev's got a jar down here with a whole bunch of different activities on it that we're going to come and grab later. Let that inspire you. But be moved by your own experience. Allow your generosity to pour out of your own experience. Because then I think it becomes easier to prioritize as well. When we've got our time everywhere, when we've got our time in everything, we're thinking there's just too much, I can't do it all. Be moved by the things that come out of your own experience. Because as far as I can see, that's how we are generous with our time when we feel like we don't have any time. By allowing that generosity to come out of our own experience, knowing that God will honour that generosity because God is generous. In 2002, Oprah Winfrey went to South Africa with a team of people, and she gave Christmas presents to 50,000 South African orphans. And when she tells the story, she says, I could have just sent a check. She's a wealthy woman. Everybody knows this. She said, I could have just written a check, but I didn't want to. I wanted to go myself. She took her 4 weeks annual leave that she had that year. And she gave 50,000 presents to South African orphans who didn't have anything. And each present had each child's name on it. And when she tells the story, she says, I wanted to look them in the eye and give them their gift. And remembering the nuns who had blessed her Christmas back when she was 12, she gave each little girl a little black doll. She says, I wanted to go and look them in the eye and give them their present and have them know somebody remembered me. Will you pray with me? God, you are generous and good and loving and faithful. And we know that there are things that you call us to do, lives that you call us to live with generosity and compassion. I just pray this morning that you would move in us. Tell us the things that you would have us do. Tell us the things that it's okay to put down in order to be able to do the generous thing. Allow us to show your love and your grace to those that we meet. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.